This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good morning. We have reached the end of the week, and Super Bowl week it is, as we get ready for Sunday's game in Tampa, Buccaneers and Chiefs. You know, there's a lot of talk about legacy, and I think it's one of the talking points because, one, we've had 2 weeks to dissect the game. We always have 2 weeks to dissect the game. But, two, I think there is a legacy avenue here between these two teams. I mean, we're not getting a brand new participant at the quarterback position. We've got a guy that's trying to go for two straight, and not a lot of teams have done that in the 54 previous Super Bowls. And then, of course, we've got a guy that's just adding yet another trophy, or has a chance to add yet another trophy to his already filled trophy case in terms of accomplishments that he's had. And while the Buccaneers are only going to their second Super Bowl in franchise history, it really has been about Tom Brady and what it means for Tom Brady. But nevertheless, this game, in looking at all the ways this game could be played out, it's not Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes that I think is going to be how this is going to be described. I don't think this is a quarterback shootout kind of game, right? I think in the end that this game, if it's going to be a Buccaneers Super Bowl championship, and I'm just throwing out the hypothetical that they do pull this off, I think we are going to remember it as a phenomenal defensive effort, a phenomenal defensive game plan, where Brady was allowed to still be Brady, throw the ball a lot, find his receivers, utilize those great offensive weapons that he went to Tampa Bay to utilize. But I think this is a game where if Patrick Mahomes plays a great game, and we all agree that he played a great game, the Buccaneers have no chance of winning this game at all. None. None. But if he has a game where somehow the defensive scheme bothered him a bit, confused him a bit, threw his timing off a little bit, that's the way the Buccaneers win this game. We're going to explore that a little bit more because, yes, there is a lot more than just Brady versus Mahomes and where these two guys will end up after Sunday's game. There's a lot more players that do have a chance to make a statement in Super Bowl 55.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us as we've reached the end of the week. Hey, coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Jack Youngblood, former defensive end of the LA Rams, legendary player. Played in Super Bowl 14 on a broken leg. You've probably heard that 1,000 times. We'll actually talk to him about that. Today, every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. So I was saying at the top of the hour, I think this is such a compelling Super Bowl because whenever we get a Super Bowl, we don't always get a matchup where you feel like this is important, right? The matchup is important. There's something larger than these two teams meeting up. Last year, we didn't feel that way about Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo. We didn't. We knew Patrick Mahomes was on the verge of some greatness, but we didn't feel like there was a real, that this was a quarterback mano a mano, legacy for legacy. This one played out really nice for us because we've got a guy that constantly goes to Super Bowls. And then we got a guy on the other side that we think is going to go to a lot more Super Bowls. The one element, though, that I think is, and listen, I'm all for the Patrick Mahomes hype train. I'm on board. Let's take it as far as we can go. Patrick Mahomes is you'll hear a lot of people say he's the best quarterback I've seen. He needs that hardware, right? I don't think he needs to match Brady. Like if he's 37, 38, and he's got like four Super Bowl titles. I don't think he has to match Brady, but if he's consistently doing this, he has an element to his game that Brady never had. The one thing I'm going to be interested to see as Mahomes grows, right, is can he do it consistently when his roster changes over as much as it does? Right? Who was Tom Brady throwing passes to in that first Super Bowl against the Rams 19 years ago? Who was he throwing to? Who was on his team? Who was running the ball? Who was playing deep? All of the roster changes that occurred with the Patriots during their runs in Super Bowls. And Brady's, just by being there, it didn't seem to matter about all the other things, all the other people that came aboard. He was creating stars in his own right. And Mahomes has not yet had to do that. He has been given a roster of Tyreek Hill, of Sammy Watkins, of now Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Travis Kelce, of course. And that's the group that is winning and dominating the NFL, and especially the AFC. And while there's been a piece or two that have come and gone, in the end, this is the core weapon group that he's had around him that he can go out and win championships. And we'll give that to anybody, right? We've seen plenty of teams do that. The big three in Dallas winning three Super Bowls in 4 years, right? The Steelers of the 70s, the Niners of the 80s. Right, we've seen that. So if he does this with this group of guys for the next 3 or 4 years, that's still not Brady-esque. Because one of the impressive elements of Tom Brady has been constantly doing it with new people all the time. 1 year I'm going to the Super Bowl with Randy Moss. Next, Julian Edelman is a Super Bowl MVP. Rob Gronkowski is with me. Right. I mean, there's just this feeling, whether it's Dion Branch, whoever. I mean, all through the years of just the Patriots turning over a roster around their quarterback, a lot of it because just lost usefulness. A lot of it because they went somewhere else. A lot of it's because they're just out of the game. But continually doing that. The Mahomes bandwagon is worth being on because it's true. It's not just a quarterback catching fire at the right time. There is something different about the way this kid plays the game. We all know that. We're all watching something special. We get it. We're all watching something unique. We get that. But don't look at this Super Bowl as the torch being passed to Mahomes, because Mahomes still has some years left and some different things in his career that sort of have to go to be on that same level as Tom Brady. And we've seen plenty of teams in the history of the Super Bowl win two in a row. We've seen teams build a mini dynasty. We've also seen teams that are so good, you feel like you will see them over and over again, and they never showed up again. I mean, I think I don't really root for legacies, right? I mean, I root for my team. I like certain stories. But I will have to say, it is disappointing that the 85 Bears is the only championship that defense had. It is. It's sad Dan Marino never had a Super Bowl title, right? The Super Bowl and judging on the Super Bowls is tricky. It's interesting. If you talk to people who have been around a long time, who you ask them, give me the best team you've ever seen. The best team you've ever seen. If you really think about it, they probably would come up with the 85 Bears. That team was so dominant, it was insane, right? So are they not? Because they never reached the game again. You know, there were injuries. There was people leaving. Buddy Ryan left. It was all the circumstances occurred. That could happen to this Kansas City team. And that could happen to this young quarterback. That could happen to Mahomes' career where the salad days are here. The good old days of his career are here. I'm kind of hoping it isn't, because I think something unique like what we're seeing with him leads to a Super Bowl at 29, 31, 33, maybe 35.
How about 43?
How about 43? And that's why Brady, I don't think we're ever going to see it again, ever, because tell me how that works out without just an element of luck, without just an element of right place at the right time, the right coaching, the right roster. It's rare to just see that come about. You know, it's funny. You see this a lot of times in the NBA where, like, when I grew up in the 80s with the Celtics and Lakers, right? And I grew up in New England with the Celtics, and I watched the Celtics all the time as a kid. Watched them all the time. But there was a period of time as I was getting older, like, you knew it was over, right? You knew Larry was just, his back was hurting too much, right? Kevin and Robert were getting a little older. It just wasn't the same, right? But the Celtics didn't have one guy that was like, well, it's okay if Kevin McHale retires as long as we have this one core guy, right? They were a big three that had their moment, and then the moment died, right? The moment died, and that was it. And then the Celtics became irrelevant for like 20 years, right? They lost, you know, tragically lost Len Bias, who was supposed to be the young guy that was coming up, and then they lost Reggie Lewis in the early 90s, but they were irrelevant. That's what happens in sports. That's a perfect example of what happens in sports when you find excellence, when every piece works, when everything comes together. Brady has just been a guy that has ridden along while everything around him has worked for him to be successful to get to this game. And we've seen it completely and undeniably this year when he went to another team that had weapons that couldn't get even to the playoffs because they had the wrong quarterback under center. And now this guy takes those weapons, adds a few more in Leonard Fournette and Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, and says, now we'll win the NFC. Patrick Mahomes is going to have to do that if we're going to put him in that same category. It's not about he's going to be the greatest of all time because in a period of 3 years, he won two Super Bowls or won three Super Bowls in four or something along those lines. That's not going to do it. It's not going to cut it. No matter how good and how few games he loses, it's not going to cut it. Because to take a team that is built with this kind of speed, with this talent, and this head coach, right, and the greatest quarterback in the league right now, that story has already been written by a number of teams. That story of winning a bunch of Super Bowls in a short period of time has been written in the legacy of this sport. What has not been written in the legacy of this sport is a guy doing this for 20 years. All the time, not playing in a Super Bowl, disappearing forever, and then coming back as an old man. No, what has happened is Brady continually goes to this thing. So we're bringing it up yesterday. The fact is that he's 43 and in the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, he was in the Super Bowl again. He was an old man 2 years ago when he was in the Super Bowl. So again, to my point, you'll hear this talk today and tomorrow and Sunday talking about legacy. Who has the legacy, right? Brady already has it, and a loss isn't really going to kill it. Mahomes is going to have to build more of his resume if we are talking about a true passing of the torch. And that's unfortunate because of how he plays football right now. He is so good, so talented, so entertaining, so eyeball popping, jaw dropping, good under certain circumstances that make you go, how he did that. But that's still, you need patience. You have to have patience in his career. He doesn't have to match Brady all the time. But I've seen this written before. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We'll talk more about that as the game gets closer and closer. And also, Jack Youngblood will join us, and we'll talk to him about his career, his legacy in the NFL, especially at a time in the 70s where the players were, you know, tougher. I hate to put it that way, tougher. Played with a broken leg. We'll talk about that coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Yeah, that wiper blade catalog can be daunting. I mean, sometimes it's pretty big when you go there. Some of them use like little computer things, but they used to be that big, thick catalog of parts.
Yes.
And you used to go, okay, I need to find. So you go to the wiper blade section and then you start looking for your car and then you're like, XCY2.
You know what? That's why you don't fool around. Just go and ask.
Just go ask. Just tell them.
Just go ask. They can do it so much faster than you. And then if you need help, ask them again.
Yeah. They come
don't
in and go,
afraid.
I got a Hyundai 2019, whatever. And they go, okay, great. Here you go. Here's your wiper
blade.
Yeah,
I'll never forget, last time I changed my wiper blades, I took them home and I said, took it forever. Remember in the past you just kind of slid that little rubber blade in there and I thought that was it. And now it's a whole mechanism. It's a whole thing. I was like, God.
I just replaced my wiper blades not that long ago, and I was at my parents' house in Florida, and my father had to help me do it. And I was like, "This, I can't believe it. Why don't I know how to do this?"
I'm reading the back of the instructions. You know, they have like little instructions in the back. It's just two pictures and no words. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense to me.
I literally couldn't put them on, and I couldn't figure it out. My father came out and says, "Oh, this is how you do it. This is how you do these." And I'm like, you must be real proud that you raised a real man.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you must be so proud that your son grew up not knowing how to put wiper blades on a car.
Well, it's because, they changed it on us when we were taught originally.
I know. Yes.
It was simple.
Exactly.
Do it in a second.
I told you that story of what I did to my son changing the tire, right?
No.
Did I tell you that story? Well, we had a flat tire. We had a tire in the driveway. The car's had a flat tire. It was in the driveway. And I told my son to go change it. I said, you know how to change a tire. Go change it. I said, I want you to learn to change it because I had to. I mean, my dad had made me change a tire without helping me at all, right? Because this is what's going to happen. You're going to be on the side of the road. So my son is out there trying to do the tire and his buddy's with him and they're using the jack and I'm out there watching. I'm like, I'm not helping. I'm not even offering advice. But then his buddy was like, I'm going to go to my house. I've got a super jack and I'm going to, and I'm like, no. He has to change it with what this car has.
Yes.
I was like, no, we're not going to the house to go get a special drill or a special wrench or a special jack. He has to change that tire with what this car has in the back.
Yeah, you're not calling your NASCAR pit buddy to come over.
Exactly. No. We're not doing the thing where we're like, boom, boom, boom. No. He has to take that wheel off and put that wheel back on exactly with what the equipment is that they provide. I felt very proud of that moment.
Yes.
Because they were fussing. My son was like, I can't do it. You're on the side of the road. What are you going to do? Call him? What are you going to do?
Hey, can you
when you're on the side
of
the road? Call your buddy? That's what's going to happen? No, you are changing the tire with what's in there, and you can do it because everybody can do it.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out, and he did.
And then at some point, you yell out, oh, fudge.
Yeah, right. That's right. Oh, fudge. And then and then you get that bar of,
you get that of whatever
of Lifebuoy soap shoved in the mouth. All right. So we were talking about, again, this game. And I said, listen, when we had, whether it was Colin Kaepernick or Joe Flacco or, most of the time we had Brady in the Super Bowl. So that doesn't really count.
Brady and name your quarterback.
Right. Even last year, Garoppolo versus Mahomes, you couldn't have that conversation, right? Like quarterback versus quarterback and legacy versus legacy.
The conversation last year was, two young up and coming quarterbacks.
Right.
That's what it was, but there was no meat to it.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like every time Brady's been in, you wouldn't even call it a
mano-a-mano comparison with Matt Ryan or Nick Foles or Jared Goff.
You never believed it was Jared Goff. Nick Foles was the backup.
Nick Foles was the backup, and Matt Ryan was all right. I mean, but Matt Ryan had had years of not really showing us anything until they finally went to the Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan was, he finally made it.
Right, exactly. But this is different because there is a 43-year-old quarterback on one side who's won a bunch, and then there's this kid who we think is going to win a lot more, right? Or like, not a lot more, but more than this. More than what's there. But like I said at the top of the hour, I hate to say this like this because I don't want to sound like, you know, this game, because this game is it's a 3-point spread for Kansas City. So, you know, Vegas thinks this is going to be a tight game. They played a tight game that could have gotten away from Tampa Bay in the regular season. But there's no way Tampa Bay wins this game if Patrick Mahomes plays great.
Yep.
And sometimes we've seen quarterbacks play great and not win the Super Bowl.
What about if he plays really good?
See, that's the thing. Could he lose if he played really good? Will you say, well, there were a little bump here, he threw a pick here, fumbled a ball here, or you know, missed a couple of open guys here on third down? Maybe.
You know, cuz I mean, the key to this game, and I this is what I'll be watching for, is that defensive front seven for Tampa versus that offensive line that's missing a couple pieces.
Missing a couple of pieces, exactly.
And that's where the battle's going to be won. I think that's going to be the determination of where this game is going to go.
Exactly. And that's the thing about, again, with Mahomes, is, you know, we hear athletes say, bring your A game, right? He could bring his A game, and if he brings his A game, Tampa has no chance of winning at all. I don't care what.
Yeah.
Because the A game is going to mean that scenario that you brought up, or that matchup that you brought up, it has been nullified by Kansas City, right? That they figured it out. They did something else. He was able to escape some pressure and make some plays. If that occurs, I don't care if Tom Brady's on the other side. The Buccaneers are not going to win that game. How they win that game is, again, with Brady, utilizing what they do best. I mean, again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the second best passing offense in the NFL. Kansas City is one. Tampa Bay is number two. If we talked about this yesterday with Jared Dubin. This would be a mistake to assume that the Buccaneers take on an identity of ball control, run, eat clock type of offense all game to keep Mahomes off the field. I think they just do what they do best, and they hope that the football game lends itself to things that the defense can take advantage of, and maybe, just maybe, there is an opportunity to slow Mahomes down. Because even when you get pressure on him, that's when he's very dangerous.
Well, and that's what's
let's say you make him run and he doesn't hit his guys.
And that's what's going to make this game exciting, because, you know, the two head coaches are extremely aggressive.
Right.
You know, I don't think we're going to run into a situation of, oh, you know, they punted on 4th and 3 from their own 40.
Thank God.
You know, I don't think we're going to run into that. I think, you know, or, hey, it's 4th down. It's, you know, 2 yards to go. They opted for the field goal.
Yeah,
I don't think we're gonna run into that unless it's field goal just preserves the lead and it's late in the game. Why not?
There is one caveat to that changing your identity thing, though. If this game got out of hand for Kansas City, right? Like when the Texans scored all those points right early in the game. If the Buccaneers have a 28-3 kind of lead, they're going to do what Atlanta didn't do. Right, they are going to play the game the way you should play in that scenario. But no, it's not going to be from the get-go, this is the way the Buccaneers want to play. Run, get first down, eat time. Like what the Giants had to do against the Bills. No, this should be an aerial fun show. There's also talk of rain. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
There's talk of rain. I hope there's no rain. Like, doesn't God want to see this too? Like, these two guys duking it out.
They don't want to wash it out.
Don't wash it out. Don't make it be a slugfest on the ground on a muddy day at Raymond James Stadium. I don't want that. I want these two teams to do what they do best. The thing that Kansas City does really well that I like watching, even though it's an AFC team that just gets really good, is their speed is so incredible. I don't want rain and slog and mud to slow that team down. I want to see their speed.
No, we want to see Tyreek Hill take a 5-yard slant to the house.
Yes. Pass complete to Watkins. Watkins is different, but Tyreek Hill, and turns it into a 60-yard game. That's what I like. I like that. I rain, that will just muddy things up a bit.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, let's go back to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Well, you may know the big game is on Sunday, but it's also Pork Rind Appreciation Day. Joining us, former defensive end great Jack Youngblood of the LA Rams, and also Mark Singleton of Southern Recipe and Southern Recipe Small Batch. How are you, gentlemen?
Better than we deserve.
Mark, I'll start with you. This is an opportunity for fans to win some money and also help out a good cause at porkrinds.com. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, about 12 years ago, we teamed up with Coach Mike Dicka and the Gridiron Greats to help support his charity that gives financial support to retired players that a lot of them are in dire need. So today, your listeners can go help us raise money for the Gridiron Greats by going to porkrinds.com, and while they're helping us raise money, they could win $5,000 in a year's supply of pork rinds.
And Jack, from a former player perspective, the Gridiron Greats Association, the way they help former athletes, what does it mean to you?
Well, you gotta know who Mike Ditka is. Mike's a tough guy. He was a great tight end and a wonderful coach, and he's. Everybody thinks he's really a tough, hard guy to, you know, deal with, get to know, but he's got a heart bigger than an elephant. He's seen, and we all have, you know, the injuries that we have when we're playing the ball game create some issues later on down in life. And that's just, it's hard to offset that. It's just part of the nature of what we do or what we did. I want to help Mike as much as I possibly can to help some of these players that are in need for sure.
Jack, when we talk about your career, famously, you played Super Bowl 14 on a broken leg. It seems like everybody knows that. And it's one of those things people bring up when they talk about the days of, you know, yesteryear, with the way guys played and the way guys prepared. But give us a little insight on playing that Super Bowl with that injury and playing most of the playoffs with that injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I broke it in the Dallas playoffs in the division. And I went into the locker room. They took an X-ray of it, and Clarence Shields, my one of my doctors, and he brings the X-ray out. He says, "Jack, you got a broken leg." And he put it in the light board. And I said, "He says, you see this right here? That's broken. You got a broken leg." I said, "Clarence, tape it up. We got 30 more minutes." And he goes, "I can't do that." And I said, "You're my doctor. You can tape it up." He said, "No, I can't." I said, third time, I said, "Clarence, tape it up. We got 30 more minutes here." And he said, "I don't know how to tape."
Oh. That's great.
I looked at him and he looked at me and he said, "I go get the trainer."
You know, you had such an amazing career, and the accolades are listed, but you know what a lot of people don't know is that your time at Florida You're still considered one of the greatest Gators to have ever played in a school that has just turned out pro after pro after pro at all positions. Now, I have to give you a little bit of background here, Jack. I married into a Gator family, a full Gator family. My wife, my brother-in-law, my son now goes to that university. So I'm starting to understand the level of importance that you guys from the yesteryear mean to the Gator family. What does it mean to still be on the list of Gator greats? You're like in the top five.
Well, that's like I say, it's, you know, I don't deserve that. I'm blessed, and it was quick story. I got to go to Florida, University of Florida, with only one the coach that came to our championship ball game at my little school in Monticello, Florida. We won the ball game. And he came up to me and grabbed me by the arm and said, Jack, how would you like to be a Florida Gator? And I said, let me think about that. Yes, sir. And that was the one and only scholarship offer that I was presented with.
That's amazing.
He had one scholarship in his pocket.
That's incredible. To feel like to for your impact, not only in the college game, but in the NFL game, the excellence that you had playing, what people say about you in terms of your toughness. And you even said, look, I wasn't the fastest and I'm not the biggest, but what is it that you had that allowed you to stay in the league for a long time and to reach the Pro Bowl level that you had?
Well, I think that came, I lost my father at 10 years old, and My grandfather stepped in. He was sheriff of Nassau County for 28 years. And I think he taught me a lot about how do you do your job? And he said, the only way you do it is you do the best you possibly can every step of the way. So I was fortunate to have that kind of, parents. That guided me through what we did at the University of Florida.
In the NFL today, Jack, we see the defensive end position and the level of importance. What has changed when you observe it today than when you played back in your time? How is that position evolved?
I don't want to sound like I'm coming down on the players today.
Sure.
They don't play 60 plays if they're 60 plays. Or they don't play 70 or 80. They come out of the ball game, half the time. We didn't do that. I was taught different than that. And in a career of 14 years, I didn't miss many plays because, first of all, Merlin Olsen, if I'd have tapped my hat and said, I got to go to the sideline, Merlin Olsen would have killed me.
Oh, yeah.
And Merlin would have killed me. And I had some big shoes to follow. You know, Deacon Jones, I stepped in. He got hurt early in the season, and I had to step into his shoes. So I had a big challenge there.
And Merlin Olsen was for a lot of people, he was not only a great football player, but he was also a television show. He was a Little House on the Prairie. So, like, for a lot of people, the idea that he was this really tough football player probably counteracted what he was playing on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, he did. He had two or three of those.
Shows. Yeah.
In the course of his career, he stepped off the field in front of the camera.
Exactly.
Well, now, Jack, you did too.
Yeah, you're also an actor too. You appeared in a couple of shows.
Yeah, that wasn't my game. Hollywood was just not my game.
Jack Youngblood joining us here on SB Nation Radio as we continue along on Super Bowl week. So once again, a great cause. Again, it's Pork Rind Appreciation Day. Mark, I love pork rinds. A little bit more about what you guys have been doing with that over the last couple of years.
Well, we've been around since 1955, and
over the last several years, I'm sure you're aware, people have really become far more aware about protein as a part of their diet, about
right.
low carbs. And so many people are having success. I read every single letter we get from customers, and so many people are sharing their success stories, whether it's, you know, their goal is controlling the glycemic index, you know, zero carbs for diabetics. Pork rinds are really one of the few crunchy, salty snacks they can have. So as keto has become more prevalent, we're seeing people cooking with pork rinds, using pork rinds, you know, with dips instead of chips for the game this weekend. It's just really been a pork rind renaissance the last several years. And we're just so lucky to be teamed up with Jack and Coach and helping these great guys as we get ready to celebrate Pork Rind Appreciation Day.
Well, you guys have been fantastic. Thank you both for joining us, Jack and Mark. Great luck to you, both of you. I really appreciate your time with us this morning.
Hey, don't forget, $5,000 at porkrinds.com.
That's right. Again, the Great Wonder Years sweepstakes, porkrinds.com. One lucky fan can win a chance for $5,000 and also learn to support the Gridiron Greats Assistant Fund, established by Mike Ditka to help former players. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack Youngblood, former Los Angeles Rams great, and Mark Singleton, again, of Southern Recipe and Southern Recipe Small Batch. As we continue along, it is Sports Map Radio.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents and Doug.
Breathe out and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
This is your Sports Garden Network update.
I'm Tom Barton. For today's SGN's Best Bet, I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm giving you another prop play, and that is Cameron Brate to catch over two balls in the big game. Look, Brate has been Tom Brady's go-to guy recently, and that's going to continue here. Brate had 11 catches in the playoffs, and he hasn't had a game where he went under three catches all the way since the playoffs began. Look, this guy is making a name for himself. Cameron Brate has also caught two or more balls in nine of his last 11 games. We also have the Steve Spagnuolo defense, which allows middle-of-the-field crossing patterns and especially tight ends to absolutely feast. That is where Brady excels. This could cash before the half. Look, to get my Super Bowl picks, you're going to have to listen on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to our Wanna Bet show. But this is my best bet for the Super Bowl prop plays. Give me Cameron Brate over two catches. For SGN's Best Bets, I'm Tom Barton.
What do you get when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor? You get someone who understands there's an art to listening. Who's able to hear more than what's being said and can provide tailored small business solutions that make you feel truly heard.
I understand. Let's get started.
For advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and solutions powered by Intel vPro platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Jack Youngblood for joining us. And this hour of as we continue along with SportsMap Radio. I forgot my thing didn't come up, so I have to get that back. Jack Youngblood joining us as we continue along with Super Bowl week. I love that story that he told about the tape-up leg. I thought that was great. Tape it up. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But when you heard Jack Youngblood, like, played on a broken leg, I wouldn't play with a hangnail. I mean, are you kidding
right.
me?
Or the fact that, you know, my favorite part was when he was talking about, like, you know, we didn't come out for plays.
Right. No,
these
exactly.
guys are, like, taking, you know, every other play off. It's almost like he wanted to say, I played every damn snap of every game right. I was ever in.
You're telling me that these other guys are playing all the time? Merlin Olsen would have killed me if I asked for a play off. But think about it too, like,
and he would have,
right? Yeah, like playing with a broken leg, like the way he tells that story, there wasn't even any consideration other than tape it up. I'm going back out there. Like, we got 30 minutes. I've got to be out there. I'll figure it out afterwards. But I'm playing. I'm sure there are guys in the NFL who do that now, but that's that angle to Youngblood's legacy is still true to this day. You hear that all the time. You hear that all the time. That was the Rams team that played that Super Bowl was in Pasadena. That's the one example, along with the Niners in Palo Alto. That's like they came close, but it wasn't quite their home stadium. But it was close. And now we've reached we've crossed that off the Super Bowl list now and with the Buccaneers.
And the only thing we can say is, of course it was Tom Brady.
Of course it was Tom Brady,
This had to be.
Like, you could make the joke that it eventually could be Miami or Tampa, because they host the Super Bowl a lot of the
New Orleans.
But for the most of our lives, those teams were crap. They weren't going to the Super Bowl ever. Right? So it's like... So you could safely bet that it was never going to be the Buccaneers that were ever going to host.
I know if you really think about it, I mean this generation of Saints teams under Drew Brees, I mean they've been fantastic.
Yeah, they've only been to one. Same with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes,
we talked about that before the NFC title game.
But Lambeau is never going to host a Super
Bowl. No, that's never going to
host. I was pointing out New Orleans because they definitely would host one.
Yeah, the last 10, 11 years. They should have They should have been in a position to host one or two that landed in New Orleans.
That would have been a fun crowd,
right? Oh my god! I know. Would that have been nuts? Like the Super Bowl. When was the last Super Bowl in New Orleans? Was that Baltimore, San Francisco? I got to think it was.
I think so.
That's the one with the power.
The power went out.
Can you imagine if the Saints were ever in a Super Bowl at the Superdome? Just that whole week. City would have done?
First of all, ticket prices would set all-time records.
All-time records, of course.
Because everyone would be buying them up. And, it would definitely be an unfair advantage.
Yeah, without question. Without question. Hour two coming up as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue talking about Super Bowl 55.